We're beginning a quite a long series of sermons for the next quite a few weeks on evidence for the resurrection. Of course, last Sunday was Easter, and for the next few weeks we'll be preaching through some highlights of the book of Acts. If you want to read about the resurrection and the evidence for the resurrection, you need look no further than the amazing book of Acts. It's a history book, and for me it's one of the most interesting and exciting books of the whole Bible, because it is filled with all sorts of good stuff about the early days of the Christian church. Peter Wagner calls the book of Acts a training manual for modern Christians. And there's a lot of leadership lessons to be found in this book. It's got everything. For example, if you're looking for spiritual power, read Acts 2 and the day of Pentecost and everything that happened on that amazing day. If you want to see how the church grew, you read chapters 3 and 4, and also at the end of chapter 2, how converts were being added to the church every day. If you want to see the tension that happened as foreigners, non-Jews, came into the church, you read the book of Acts. You want to hear the conversion of Paul or Saul, that's in the book of Acts as well. And the ministries of Peter and Paul, all there. How the church confronted paganism. You've got personality conflicts, for example, between Paul and Silas. And you have the first church synod, the first gathering in Jerusalem, when the church had to wrestle with some major issues that threatened to split them apart. How did the church face paganism? All found in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It's a thoroughly modern book. And it's an exciting book. You just read it like a novel, except it's truth and it's amazing. So this morning, in that short passage that Jordan read, is a description, the girl read that it's a description of the church that I'm calling a radical community. And why is it so radical? Well, first of all, it was growing extremely fast. We read on the day of Pentecost that 3,000 people were converted that day alone. And then the Lord added to their number those who were being saved every day. And notice that the emphasis is the Lord added to their number. It has a lot to do with our faithfulness, with our preaching, with our boldness in testifying to what the Lord is doing in our lives. But it's always the Holy Spirit who is the agent of conversion. It's the Holy Spirit, who's God himself, who changes lives and helps the church, the body of Christ, to grow numerically and spiritually. And notice three other things. In verse 32, the disciples had all things in common, and great grace was upon them all. And interestingly, in verses 34 and 35, there were no needy persons among them. It was extraordinary what God was doing with them. You know, sometimes the church is being compared to what communism must have been like. But I think that's a very dangerous road to go down, to try and compare the church with communism. The ideal of communism, of course, is from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. And that's certainly what happened in the early church. But there are some very significant differences. Communism is atheistic, while the Christian church is based on the living God amongst us. Communism is a political system. The Christian church is a religious organism. It is alive and always changing and growing and adapting to the situation it's in. In communism, the doctrine of communism differs very much from what it is in practice. Cheryl, my wife, was part of a team that went to Albania shortly after the Iron Curtain came down and they were free of communism. And Albania, of course, is one of the poorest countries in Central Europe. And the people were so shocked and discouraged by what they had found after the whole of the city of Tirana, where they were, became open to them, because they went to the president's compound, where the president and all the government officials lived. And they'd always been told that everybody lived on the same par. Everybody was equal in communism. And they found that although they were dirt poor, the people behind those walls were living in the height of luxury. They were astonished and deeply disappointed for all that they'd been through. And communism imposes common ownership from the top down, whereas Christianity is grassroots. It comes from the bottom up, God working with ordinary people all the way. Great grace was upon them. It was a radical, amazing community. And the fact that we are here today is evidence for the resurrection, because we wouldn't be if God, if Jesus wasn't alive, if Jesus wasn't as active today in our lives as he was back then. When Peter and the apostles were shaking things up in Jerusalem and all around, they were alienating a lot of people, just as Jesus did. And some of the officials wanted to arrest Peter and his friends and put them to death. But we read here in Acts chapter 5, but a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin, the court, and ordered that the men be put outside, Peter and the others. And then he addressed the Sanhedrin and he said, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied around him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. And this is real wisdom. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men and will only find yourselves fighting against God. What great wisdom came from that Pharisee. And of course, we know that to be true, that the church is alive. It's a living organism. And from generation to generation, the gospel is being passed on as people find life in Christ and lives are changed and revolutionized. And it's all because the church makes a huge difference. Grace was so powerfully at work in them. We have some very close friends there, godparents to our children. And quite some years ago now, Ewart lost his job. He'd been 30 years with the same company, and suddenly he found himself terminated. And it was a hard, hard time for them. It just hit him in the gut. I'm sure a lot of you know what I'm talking about. It just absolutely put him at his wit's end. They were having trouble meeting all their financial commitments and so on. And one day they were going out of church, and Ewart was shaking hands with the minister. and he felt something go into his hand. And when he got outside, he looked in his hand, and there was $100 bill. And Ewart said to the minister, "What's this?" He said, "We know you're going through a tough time, Ewart. This is just a little something to let you know we're here for you. We're going to help you as much as we can." Another man in the congregation had a small engine repair shop. He repaired lawnmowers, snowblowers, you know, small engines. And he said to Ewart, "You know, I've been fairly busy lately. I could use some help in the shop." Ewart knew very well he didn't need any help. But he said, "Would you like to come and help me out? I can't pay you a lot, but I'd love to work with you." And Ewart said, working with him for a few months, he said that was a lifeline to him because he was feeling so deflated. His ego was at an all-time low. And he said, that man, that simple gesture gave him something to do and some place to go. And he said it meant so much to him. And that church community just rallied around. And when he got his feet back under him, he's never, ever forgotten what that community meant to him. Community means a lot in other ways, too. During the week, I was meeting with a family talking about baptism. And we were sharing our stories. And the mother was sharing how, like so many people, like probably most of us, she's had ups and downs in her Christian walk. She said when she was a teenager, she stopped going to church and really was questioning her belief in God. And she said it was some of the other girls in the youth group in a local church reached out to her, and they invited her to church. They stood around. They tried to answer her questions, and she said, "They were a lifeline to me." And later on, she went through another crisis when she was in university, and again, it was friends who belonged to the Christian Fellowship at the university spoke to her and rallied around, and she said, "If it weren't for these good friends, these people who had a lively faith of their own, when I was down, they were up, and together we supported each other." And right now she's really up and a great blessing to her family and to everyone she comes in contact with. She was a blessing to me as we were spending the evening together. That's evidence to me that Jesus is alive and the resurrection is true. And we know about our life here together. Jan said it so well in the introduction to the service. The small group ministry and how the groups close in around and help people over humps and tough spots. Our prayer ministry every week, amazing stories coming from our prayer ministry. The youth group and the Sunday school and the support they give, not just to teaching the kids about their faith, but supporting the families as well. There's a real passion there. And it's exciting to be part of this living church that tells us Jesus is alive, as we've been singing. It's interesting, this little passage, which is really a parallel. For Acts 4, the passage is read today, is a real parallel with the end of chapter 2, as well as you see this dynamic Christian community forming. And in both places, it mentions that people sold property and laid the proceeds at the apostles' feet. That didn't mean that they were making the apostles rich, that when they said they laid it at the apostles' feet, it was for the Lord and for the extension of his kingdom. I remember one of my parishes in Montreal wasn't a wealthy parish at all. In fact, it was we had a lot of public housing and so on. It's a very demanding parish in many ways. But just as Alpha has had a great renewing effect on this congregation, and so many of you, your faith came alive because of Alpha, back then in the 1980s, it was Crisil that changed our congregation and really brought people alive in their faith, and amazing things happened. In fact, one day, a couple, I'll never forget this couple, their lives had just been turned upside down by the power of God. And they called me over to their place and they said, "Phil, we've been praying. We have a summer cottage. We want to give it to the church." And I was blown away. They were by no means a wealthy couple, but they gave their cottage to the church. We turned it over to the diocese, and it was used for many years as a place for clergy families to go who couldn't afford to go to have a holiday anywhere else, and a lot of lay people went there as well. It was very heavily used, all because the Lord laid on the heart of this family to give back what the Lord had given to them. Isn't that a fantastic story? We didn't think that sort of thing happens anymore, but it happens today because Jesus is alive. Now I want to end with an invitation, perhaps tinged with a challenge. You've all heard of the federal government's plans, the Canada Summer Jobs Program now has a clause added to it, an attestation that groups getting funding for summer students must agree to. And it says that they must agree to an attestation that the, and this is a word for word, the job and the organization's core mandate respect reproductive rights, meaning the right to access to legal abortions. There's all sorts of problems with that. It turns abortion into a right. But it cuts across religious freedom. And a lot of organizations, including St. Paul's, that's benefited from this program when we hire students for the day camps and so on, just cannot agree to that. It infringes upon our constitutional rights to freedom of religion. But that means that St. Paul's and other Christian organizations are really going to feel a very serious financial pinch to go it alone. And so I just pray that if we mean business with the Lord, that you pray about this and consider making extra donations to support those charities, and there's a few that I support, that I have to revisit and re-examine and increase my level of support to help them over this bump that they're experiencing, so that we can maintain our integrity and continue to witness that God is alive and he changes lives today and in our world. So we can argue till the cows come home about the resurrection. But the greatest evidence that Jesus is alive is you just need to look around you. And the fact that we have a living faith is evidence that Jesus himself is alive. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for us. We know that we would not be here were it not for the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you are alive and a living God, changing lives today, just as you did in Jesus' ministry and in the early days of the church. So give us confidence and a holy boldness to proclaim you in Jesus' name. Amen.